All the major news stories made simple and easy for your listening pleasure. We'll break it down for you in keywords for the segment. We're joined by Adam on the line this morning. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Lena.
You sound well. I hope you're doing okay.
I am.
It's good to hear from you. Let's jump into our keyword news segment with a closer look at the major headlines this morning. This is our first keyword of the day.
Property tax.
So the government is moving to ease the standing property tax burden on homeowners as house prices, of course, continue to soar in the country. So what's the latest?
Yeah, so rival parties agreed to raise the tax base, or what's known as the gross real estate tax that's imposed on single homeowners, so those with only one house. Now, it's been raised from the 900 million won to 1.1 billion won. Now, the tax ranges from around 0.5% to 3% of the value of the home. Mm. Now, this means that the gross real estate tax, which is separate from the property taxes levied by local governments, will be imposed on owners of a single home whose government assessed value exceeds 1.1 billion won after a relevant bill passes parliament. Mm. Now, we should note that a government appraisal and the actual transaction price could differ. Mm. So the tax might differ in that sense. Now, the proposal will be submitted to parliament next Wednesday, so it needs to be passed by lawmakers first. Multiple homeowners were excluded from the proposed tax reductions. Now, the tax threshold for individuals who own two or more houses will remain unchanged at 600 million won in terms of combined appraisal value. The ruling party proposed last month, in fact, that the tax be applied only to homes in the top 2% in terms of value, but the opposition said that was unfair because the threshold would fluctuate too much because, according to the prices, fluctuating.
All right, we're going to move on to our second keyword of the day.
Wealth gap.
Actually, it kind of ties into why the property tax is so important and how it affects the general public. The income gap between the rich and poor has accelerated even further this year in the backdrop of course, the pandemic. Run us through the details of the latest numbers revealed by Statistics Korea.
Right. So Korean household income as a whole declined actually in the second quarter from a year earlier. And this came amid an absence of COVID-19 relief payouts causing a higher base. Now, according to data from Statistics Korea, the average monthly income stood at just under 4.3 million won, down 0.7% on year. It actually marked the first on-year fall since the second quarter of 2017. Mm. Now, the lowest 20% income bracket made an average of 966,000 won a month. That's down 6.3% on year. Mm. In comparison, households in the upper 20% earned 9.24 million won. That's up 1.4% from a year earlier. The country's distribution ratio for disposable income, which is a key barometer of earnings equality, reached 5.59 in the second quarter. That's up slightly from the year before. A higher ratio means increased inequality in income distribution. Mm. So it means that the top 20% had 5.59 times more earnings than those in the bottom 20%. So quite the gap.
And really, frankly speaking, is there a way to close that gap in the near future? We don't have any solutions or resolutions to intervene at government levels, do we?
Right. I mean, there have been efforts in place, but we should note that it's not just Korea. Similar problems are experienced in other countries as well. It's just the mechanics of capitalism and being in a democratic society and in such similar economies as well. So. Mm.
It's most ironic because it's these advanced economies that are seeing these major gaps, and the pandemic certainly didn't make it any easier to address these issues.
No, certainly did not, because the pandemic obviously has been detrimental to especially small and mid-sized businesses rather than the big conglomerates. And so it has certainly taken its toll.
All right, on to our third keyword of the day.
Cervical cancer vaccination.
President Moon Jae-in has vowed to expand Korea's free cervical cancer vaccination program. So what has he promised?
Yeah, he said the age cap for state-provided vaccination against cervical cancer will be extended from the current 12 years to 17 years of age. Now, the pledge came after a related petition was actually posted on the presidential website. Moon also plans to expand the free vaccination program to include women aged 18 to 26 in the low-income bracket. He vowed to further increase the number of beneficiaries down the road as well. Mm. Although cervical cancer is the only type of cancer that can be prevented with vaccines, many women in Korea don't actually get shots due to the high costs involved. Now, they usually cost around 600,000 won, so that is quite a hefty price tag. As for another petition on the high cost of infertility treatments, the president vowed to offer two additional rounds under the national health insurance starting in the fourth quarter to kind of lessen the burden.
All right, moving on to our fourth keyword of the day.
Taliban threat.
So the Taliban's pledge of peaceful leadership in Afghanistan is quickly coming undone as reports are emerging of beatings and killings. Now, despite the group's public assurances that they would not seek revenge, Taliban members are intensifying a search for people they believe worked with the U.S. I mean, there are also threats to the families of those cooperating with the West, right? So let's take a look at the latest.
Right. The U.S. Media reports that beatings by Taliban fighters left some adults and at least one child injured and bleeding. Wednesday actually saw nascent anti-Taliban protests spring up in different parts of the country, and the country had an Independence Day celebration as well that coincided. Now, the Taliban used gunfire to disperse the demonstrators, which killed two people and injured several others. That's according to a report by the Wall Street Journal. The group has also been blocking passage to Kabul's Hamid Karzai International Airport. That comes despite assurances from U.S. officials, in fact, that the Taliban had agreed to allow evacuations. President Joe Biden, in fact, has suggested U.S. troops could actually stay past the withdrawal deadline to evacuate all Americans. That deadline is actually the 31st of this month. But it did not make the same pledge for Afghan partners, and locals actually face a chaotic rush to get themselves onto a flight. So it seems that the Americans are the priority for the U.S. administration. There were also, as you mentioned, reports of night raids and arrests of suspects cooperating with Western powers such as NATO. And the Taliban did make threats to their families as well if they did not confess. And this actually came, as you said, despite the Taliban saying they would not seek revenge against its enemies. So they're having rather a different PR campaign from the reality that's actually happening in Afghanistan.
And it's prompting anti-Taliban protests across the country already. And it's in response, the Taliban has already imposed curfews in cities in Afghanistan.
Right. This certainly is a kind of a dire situation there at the moment. Yeah.
All right. Moving on to our fifth keyword of the day.
U.S. security commitment.
So there have been questions raised as to whether Biden's decision to withdraw American troops from Afghanistan would mean the same for South Korea. But he has responded, President Biden, the situation is fundamentally different in the two countries.
Yeah, he said that allies like South Korea and Taiwan are fundamentally different, as you said, from Afghanistan when it comes to U.S. security commitment. This is exactly what he said during an interview, and I'll quote here. We are in a situation where they are entities we've made agreements with based on not a civil war they're having on that island or in South Korea, but on an agreement where they have a unity government that in fact is trying to keep bad guys from doing bad things to them, unquote. And he also stressed that the U.S. has kept what he called sacred commitment to respond if anyone were to invade or take action against its allies, namely South Korea and others. And Biden's remark actually follows similar comments that was made by his national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, early this week, which we reported on the show before. And Sullivan had said that the Biden administration has no intention of reducing the American troop presence in South Korea or Europe for the time being anyway. That was kind of a 180 from his predecessor, Donald Trump. So at the moment, American troops will be staying in South Korea.
On to our sixth keyword of the day.
Virtual UN meeting.
So the United States is urging world leaders to skip next month's UN General Assembly amid concerns over the spread of COVID-19. So what did it have to say?
Yeah, Washington is urging world leaders to send videos instead of traveling to New York next month, saying it would help prevent it from being a super spreader event. We saw events like the Tokyo Olympics raise concerns about this. And this actually came in a memo from the U.S. mission to the U.N., which was obtained by the Associated Press. The mission also suggested that all U.N.-hosted meetings and events be virtual as well, not just that General Assembly. Now, according to the AP, the mission said the Biden administration was particularly concerned about events on climate change and vaccines, which are hosted by both the UN Secretary General. Now, the 76th session of the UN General Assembly is expected to begin on September 21st and end on September 30th, so in about a month's time. Mm-hmm. Last year's assembly was actually not held in person, if we remember, due to the pandemic. However, the US decided to allow world leaders the option of attending both in person or virtually this year. But the country is currently experiencing a surge of new cases, which is why the new guideline or the new recommendation is coming out.
It's a recommendation, but it's not enforced necessarily, right?
Not for the moment anyway, but there is still a month to go until the assembly, so we'll have to wait and see.
Now, staying with pandemic-related news, and cases are also surging in Japan. What's the latest out of the country?
Yeah, so speaking of super spreader events, the Olympics was certainly one, and this did come amid a spike in infections in Japan, and the situation isn't abating at the moment. Daily infections in Japan reached a record of just under 24,000 yesterday, according to a tally by NHK. While government officials and scientists continue to disagree on whether the Olympics actually contributed to the latest surge, preparations for the Paralympics are continuing amid a state of emergency in Tokyo that will still be in place after the Games have ended. Now, the emergency measures cover nearly 60% of Japan's population, and it will run until September 12th. The measures have actually failed to stop infections soaring as the Delta variant takes hold. There have been increasing calls for the government to revise laws to enable it to impose restrictions that more closely resemble the stricter lockdowns that have been seen in other countries, such as South Korea as well. At the moment, it's just a very strong recommendation. There's no mandatory rules in place. So that's where the kind of the concerns lie at the moment. And in fact, there's been reports that the Paralympic Olympic Village has actually seen its first infection as well.
All right. So despite the fact that the country has had a state of emergency in place for a lot of major cities in Japan, it seems that the general public think it's just insufficient. Will they or will they not come up with measures to address those concerns? We'll have to wait and see.
Right. It's quite ironic because usually the government is the one who's taking a hardline stance. It's the public who doesn't want to be, you know, locked down. But it seems to be the other way around in Japan.
It's actually a situation that's pretty unique to Japan, right?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Adam, for a week's worth of coverage. Have a safe weekend. We'll see you next week.
You too. See you next week.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.